patient kiss.
You're amazing. I'm keeping you forever,
he informs me, showering my face with kisses. That's nice to know, I flip sarcastically.
Don't try and pull a hurt with me, lady.
He rests his forehead against mine.
You left me high and dry this morning, he says quietly.
Oh, I'm apologizing for leaving him hanging.
That makes perfect sense. But how will he repay me for all of his transgressions?
I lift my arms and rest my palms on his chest, smoothing over his toned pecs.
I apologize, I murmur, leaning in to rest my lips over his nipple. You have lace on.
He wraps his arms tightly around me.
I love you in lace.
I'm lifted, my legs automatically curling around his narrow waist, before he scoops up my bags and his t-shirt and carries me out of the lift.
Why lace? I don't know, but always wear lace.
Keys, back pocket. I reach under his arm, feeling in his pocket to drag his keys out before he turns slightly to give me access to the door. It soon kicked open and closed again before he throws my bags down and carries me all the way upstairs. I could get so used to this. He hoofs me about like I'm little more than a t-shirt on his back. I feel weightless and completely safe. I'm placed on my feet.
I'm taking you to bed now, he whispers softly.
My ears are suddenly invaded by the low sounds of Massive Attack's Angel. My body goes rigid.
This is music to make love to.
I start burning up as he slowly starts undressing me, his soft green eyes remaining locked with mine. The diversity of this man staggers me completely. This man is a brutal, demanding sex lord in one breath, and a tender, gentle lover in the next.
I love all elements of him, every single one. Well, almost every single one.
Why do you try to control me? It's the only element of him that I'm struggling to deal with. He's beyond unreasonable. He pushes my shirt from my shoulders and down my arms.
I don't know, he says on a frown, his perplexed expression having me believe that he really doesn't,
which is of no help to me in trying to understand why he's like this with me. He's known me for a few weeks. It's crazy behavior.
It just feels like the right thing to do.
He offers the explanation like it should explain everything.
It doesn't in the slightest.
He unfastens the zipper of my trousers and slides them down my thighs, lifting me out of them and leaving me standing before him in my underwear. Stepping back, he takes a good look at me as he removes his shoes and jeans, kicking them off to the side.
He's hard again.
I run my appreciative eyes over his loveliness, finishing back at his twinkling green pools. He's like a science project of perfection. God's masterpiece.
My masterpiece. I want him to be just mine.
He reaches across to me and pulls the cups of my bra down, one at a time, brushing the back of his hand over each of my nipples, hardening them further. My breath skips, and he flicks his gaze to mine.
You make me crazy,
he says, completely expressionless. I want to scream at him for being so thick-skinned.
He keeps saying this.
No, you make me crazy. My voice is a breathy whisper. I mentally plead for him to acknowledge that he's an unreasonable control freak. He can't believe this is normal behavior. His lips curve, his eyes twinkle.
Crazy, he mouths.
I'm lifted against his chest and laid on the bed, his body spreading down the length of mine. Once he swathed me, his mouth lowers and his lips take me worshipfully, softly working their way over me, his tongue sweeping through my mouth slowly.
Oh, God. I love you. I could weep at this moment. Should I tell him how I feel? Why can't I just spit the words out?
After today and his performances, you would think I would be running as fast and as far as I can.
I can't. I just can't do it.
I feel my knickers being drawn down my legs, and my thoughts well and truly scatter when he shifts his body up to sit on his heels, pulling me up to straddle his waiting lap. He reaches under us to position himself at my opening.
Lean back on your hands, he orders softly,
his voice like gravel, his eyes intense. I do as I'm bid, his spare arm wrapping under my waist to support me. He enters me, slowly on a rush of air, his lips parted and moist. I moan in pure, delighted pleasure as he fills me completely, my arms shifting a little as I lock my legs around his waist. He feels so good inside me. I could die now a very happy woman. His other hand joins the one wrapped around my waist, his big hands nearly encompassing me, as he starts directing my hips around in slow, grinding circles, lifting me up slowly before pulling me back down and swiveling again. He's working us in perfect time to the music. Christ, he's good. I sigh, long and breathy, at the exquisite sensations he's creating as he lifts, pulls me back down and circles, his own hips following the movements that he has complete control over.
Where have you been all my life, Ava?
He moans in a long, grinding circle. I gasp as I'm lifted and lowered again, the shimmer of a slow-building, highly satisfying climax beginning to gather force. I'm hypnotized by him, completely rapt as I watch his face burning with passion, his chest muscles undulating as he guides my body on his. This is slow, meticulous lovemaking, and it's doing me no favors with regards to my feelings for him, none whatsoever. I'm as addicted to gentle Jesse as I am to dominant Jesse. His tongue sweeps across his moist bottom lip, and his eyes flicker, his frown line working its way across his brow.
Promise me something.
His voice is soft as he swivels his hips on another mind-numbing grind. I moan. He's taking advantage of my mesmerized state by asking me to make promises now. But then again, that was more of a demand than a question. I study him, waiting for his request.
You'll stay with me.
What? Tonight?
Forever?
Elaborate, damn it. That definitely wasn't a question. It was an order. I nod my head as I'm pulled back down, and he mumbles incoherent words.
I need to hear the words, Ava,
he says, circling his hips, penetrating me to the deepest part of my body.
Oh, God, I will.
I exhale around the scorching infiltration, my voice quivering from pleasure and emotion, as the forceful throb at my core takes over and I tremble in his hands.
You're going to come,
he pants.
Yes. Jesus, I love looking at you when you're like this. Hold it, baby.
Not yet. My arms start to buckle under me, prompting him to shift his grip to the middle of my back and pull me up so we're front on front. I cry out as our chests collide and my new position has him penetrating me further. My hands fly up to grasp his back. He searches my eyes.
You're painfully beautiful, and all mine. Kiss me.
I obey, moving my palms to cup his handsome face and lowering my lips to his, soaking up his moans as I plunge my tongue into his mouth.
Jesse,
I plead.
I'm going.
Control it, baby.
I can't,
I pant into his mouth. I'm helpless to his invasion of my mind and body
as I tense my thighs around him and shatter all over him. I cry out and trap his bottom lip between my teeth, biting down. He shouts, rises to his knees, rears back and slams into me on his own release, clenching me to his chest and spilling himself inside me, thrusting up one last powerful time. I cry out, "Jesus, Ava, what am I going to do with you?" His face plummets into my neck as he pumps his hips slowly back and forth, milking every ounce of pleasure from me. I'm dizzy, my head spinning wildly as his heavy hot breath spreads across my neck and travels down my chest. Every internal muscle I possess grips him as he pulsates inside me. He's shaking, proper trembling shakes. I wrap my arms around him and squeeze him to me. "You're shaking," I mumble the words into his shoulder.
"You make me so happy."
"I thought I made you crazy."
He pulls back and looks me in the eyes, his forehead shimmering with sweat. "You make me crazy happy."
He kisses my nose and sweeps my hair away from my face.
"You also make me crazy mad."
He gives me an accusing look. I don't know why. It's his own unreasonable, neurotic behavior that makes him crazy mad, not me.
"I prefer you when you're crazy happy. You're scary when you're crazy mad."
His lips twitch.
"Then stop doing things to make me crazy mad."
I gape at him, but he presses his lips to mine before I can challenge him on that accusation. The man is crazy deluded on top of everything else. He rests back down on his heels.
"I would never hurt you intentionally, Ava."
The uncertainty is clear in his voice as he brushes a stray hair away from my face. "I'm absolutely certain of it, but only in the physical sense. It's the emotional sense that scares me to death. And the fact that he added intentionally should be cause for concern." I look into the hazy green pools of this beautiful man. "I know," I sigh, "but I really don't. And it scares me to death." He swivels around onto his back, taking me with him, so I'm sprawled across his chest, and I shift slightly so I can trace a figure eight on his stomach, lingering longer over his scar than anywhere else. It fascinates me in a morbid kind of way. And it's another mystery behind this man. It's definitely not a war wound from an operation, and it's not a puncture wound or a slice. It looks far more sinister than that. The thick, jagged wave looks like someone has literally plunged a knife into his lower stomach and dragged it all the way around to his side. I shudder. I wouldn't have thought anyone could survive a wound like it. He must have lost a heap of blood. "Were you in the army?" I ask quietly. This could explain it, and I've not asked directly. He pauses from stroking my hair briefly, but continues shortly after. "No," he answers. He doesn't ask me why I would think that. He knows what I'm getting at. "Leave it, Ava," he says in that tone, the one that makes me shrink on the spot. "Why did you disappear on me?" I ask a little apprehensively. "I need to know." "I told you. I was a mess, and you asked for space." "Why?" I press. I feel him tense beneath me. "You spark feelings in me," he answers softly. "What sort of feelings?" "All sorts, Ava." Now he sounds irritated. "Is that a bad thing?" "It is when you don't know how to deal with them." He lets out a long, tired breath of air, making me stop with my strokes. He doesn't know how to deal with the feelings he's having, so he tries to control me? How will that help? "You think I belong to you?" I start circling my finger again, hoping he'll confirm it.
No. I know you do. I'm deliriously happy.
When did you establish that?
When I spent 4 days trying to get you out of my head.
It didn't work?
No. I was even crazier. Go to sleep, he orders.
What were you doing to try and get me out of your head?
It doesn't matter. It didn't work, end of. Go to sleep.
I pout to myself, thinking I've probably extracted as much information as I'm going to get.
Crazier? I don't think I ever want to meet that man.
All sorts of feeling? That, I think, I like the sound of. I continue with my swirling patterns over his chest while he strokes my hair and drops a kiss to my head every now and then. The silence is comfortable, and my eyes are getting heavy. Pulling myself further into him, I rest my leg over his thigh. Tell me how old you are, I gobble into his chest.
No, he replies flatly. I screw my face up in sleepy disgust. I didn't even get a fake age. I doze off into a peaceful slumber, dreaming of all things crazy.
Chapter 25. I wake up feeling exposed and cold, and I know immediately why. I sit up, blowing the hair from my face, to find Jesse on the chaise lounge, bending down.
What are you doing?
My throat is hoarse, not yet broken in. He looks up and dazzles me with his smile, reserved only for women. How come he's all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?
I'm going for a run.
He bends down, and I notice he's tying his trainers. When he's finished, he stands up, the full 6'3" of lean loveliness, all the more lovely in loose black running shorts and a marl grey vest. I lick my lips and smile admiringly. He has stubble. I could eat him.
I'm quite enjoying the view, too,
he says cheerfully, staring at my chest with an arched brow and a half-smile on his handsome face. I follow his gaze and find the cups of my bra are still sitting under my boobs. I leave them as they are, rolling my eyes. What time is it? I suddenly have a stomach-turning panic moment.
5.
I gape at him before dramatically collapsing back onto the bed. 5. I have at least another hour of sleep. I pull the sheets over my head and close my eyes, but I only get roughly 3 seconds of shut-eye before the sheets are whipped off me and Jesse is in my face, a wickedly mischievous grin plastered all over his face. I wrap my arms around his neck, trying to pull him down to me, but he pulls against me, and I end up in a standing position before I realize what's happened.
You're coming,
he informs me, snapping the cups of my bra back over my boobs.
Come on.
He turns, heading for the bathroom. I scoff indignantly. No, I'm bloody not. He must be mad. I don't mind a run, but not at 5 a.m. I run in the evenings, I advise his back, falling back to the bed. I crawl to the top and snuggle back down into the pillows, locating the one that smells the most of fresh water and mint. But I'm rudely interrupted from my peace when he grabs my ankle and yanks me to the bottom of the bed. He leans over, whips the pillow away, and narrows his eyes on me.
Yes, you are. Mornings are better. Get ready.
He flips me over and smacks my backside. I don't have my running kit, I say smugly, just as a sports bag lands on the bed next to me. You bought these for me? I ask incredulously as I sit up. That's a bit presumptuous. Maybe I don't like running.
I saw your trainers in your room. They're wrecked. You'll damage your knees if you keep running in them.
He stands with his arms folded, waiting for me to change. It's the crack of dawn. I'm not even awake yet. And he wants me pounding the pavement and puffing myself out through the streets of London?
Unreasonable.
He sighs,
walking over to the sports bag and starts pulling out all sorts of running paraphernalia. He hands me a sports bra on a smirk. Oh, he really has thought of everything. I snatch it from his hands and remove my lace bra, replacing it with a reinforced shock absorber. Next, he passes me a pair of black running shorts, the same as his but the lady's version, and a fitted pink running vest. I put it all on under his watchful eye. Sit. He points to the bed, and I sigh dramatically, plonking myself on the end. I'm ignoring you, he grumbles as he kneels in front of me, lifting one foot at a time to put breathable running socks on and a rather swanky pair of black Nike running shoes. He can ignore me all he likes. I'm not happy, and I want him to know it. When he's done, he pulls me up, stands back, and runs his gaze up and down my sporty clad body. He nods his approval. Yes, I certainly look the part, but I've always just thrown on my baggy sweatpants and an oversized T-shirt. I don't want to look better than I actually am. Come on then, lady. Let's start the day how we intend to finish it. He takes my hand, leading the way downstairs. I'm not running again today, I splutter. This man really is mad. He laughs. That's not what I meant. Oh, what did you mean? He flashes me a dark, dirty grin. I mean by being out of breath and sweaty. I gasp a little. I know which way I would prefer to get out of breath and sweaty, morning, noon, and night, and it doesn't involve this get-up. You're not seeing me tonight, I remind him. His hand tightens around mine, and he grunts a few times. I need a hair tie, I say, spotting my bags by the door. He releases me and goes into the kitchen, leaving me to retrieve a hair tie from my bag. I scoop my hair up into a high ponytail, and he's soon back to collect me. We make our way down to the foyer, finding Clive with his head in his hands. Morning, Clive. Jesse nods formally as we pass, far too alert for this time of day. Clive grumbles to himself, waving an absent-minded hand at us. I don't think he's getting the hang of all that equipment. Jesse stops us in the car park. Stretch, he instructs, releasing my hand and pulling his lower leg up to his backside to stretch his thigh. I watch as it bulges under his running shorts and cock my head, more than happy to stay right here and watch him do that. Ava, stretch, he orders. I threw him a disgruntled look. I've never stretched in my life, only in bed, and it's never done me any harm. On an over-exaggerated sigh, I turn my back to him and spectacularly, and oh so very slowly, spread my legs and bend down to touch my toes, thrusting my backside in his face. Oh! I feel his teeth sink into one of my cheeks, followed by the swift sting of his hand colliding with my bum. I turn back around and find an arched brow on a peeved face. The man is serious about his running, whereas I just do a few miles now and again to keep the wine and cake from creeping onto my hips. Where are we running? I ask, mirroring Jesse stretching his thighs. The Royal Parks, he answers. Oh, I can do that. It's roughly 6 miles around the circumference and one of my regular runs. No sweat. Ready? He asks. I nod and make my way over to Jesse's car while he makes his way to the pedestrian gate. Where are you going? I shout over to him. For a run, he answers coolly. Realization dawns on my waking brain. He's going to make me run all the way to the parks, around them and back again? I can't do that. Is he trying to kill me off? How far is it to the parks? I try to sound completely blasé, but I'm not sure I'm pulling it off. 4 miles. His eyes are dancing with delight. That's a 14-mile round trip. He can't seriously run that far on a regular basis. It's over half a bloody marathon.
I choke slightly and disguise it with a cough, determined not to give him the satisfaction of knowing that I'm disturbed by this. I pull my vest down and walk over to the cocky, smug Adonis of a man who has my heart in a tangled mess. He punches the code in. It's 11:27:15. He glances at me with a small smile. For future reference. He holds the gates open. I'll never remember that, I call over my shoulder as I pass him, starting my jog toward the Thames. I can do this. I can do this. I repeat the mantra and the code over and over in my head. I've not run for 3 weeks now, but I refuse to let him get the better of me. He's caught up with me and running alongside me within a few yards. I look up to his lean loveliness, wondering if this man does anything badly. He runs like his upper body is disconnected from his lower body, his legs transporting his tall, lean frame with ease. I get into my stride, and we run along the river in a comfortable silence, throwing each other glances every now and then. Jesse is right. Running in the morning is really relaxing. The city isn't quite in full swing. The traffic is mainly delivery vans, and there are no horns or sirens ringing in my ears. The air is surprisingly fresh and cool, too. Half an hour later, we hit St. James's Park and follow the green lushness at a steady pace. I feel surprisingly good, considering I've run somewhere near 4 miles already. I glance up at Jesse, who's putting his hand up to every fellow runner as they pass, all women, who smile brightly at Jesse and eye me suspiciously. I roll my eyes and glance up to gauge his reaction, but he looks completely unaffected by both the women and the running. That was probably just his warm-up. Okay, he asks on a half-smile as he looks down at me. I'm not talking. That's a sure way to puff me out, and I'm doing really well at the moment. I nod and return my focus to the path ahead of us, willing my muscles not to give up. I have a point to prove. We maintain our steady pace, making our way around St. James's Park, eventually reaching the Green Park. When I glance up again, I still see a completely unaffected, virtually refreshed face and body running next to me. I'm feeling it now, and I don't know whether it's my fatigue or the fact that Crazy Man here is increasing his pace, but I'm struggling to keep up. We've got to be knocking on 9 miles now. I've never run 9 miles in my life. If I had my iPod with me, I would be hitting the button for my power track right about now. We hit Piccadilly, and I start to feel my lungs burning, my breath getting harder to keep steady and constant. I think I may have hit the proverbial runner's wall. I've never run far enough to hit it before, but I can now completely appreciate the meaning of the statement. I feel like I'm pushing against a ton of bricks wedged in sand. I must not give up. Oh, it's no good. I'm bloody shattered. I detour off the road and into the Green Park, collapsing unceremoniously onto the grass in a sweaty, overheated heap. I lay spread-eagled, dragging valuable air into my overworked lungs. I don't care that I've given up. That's my personal best achievement. Man, he can run. I close my eyes and concentrate on taking in deep breaths. I feel sick. The cool morning air invading my sprawled body is most welcome, until it's swallowed up by a hunk of leanness closing in on me from above. I open my eyes, finding a gaze so green it could rival the trees surrounding us. Baby, did I wear you out? He grins around his words. Jesus, he's not even broken a sweat. I, on the other hand, can't even talk. I heave underneath him, like the running loser that I am, letting him smother my face with kisses. I must taste god-awful. Sweat and sex. He licks my cheek and rolls us over so I'm sprawled across his stomach, and I proceed to pant and wheeze all over him, as he runs his firm palms all over my sweaty back. My chest feels tight. Can you have a heart attack at 26? When I finally got my breathing under control, I push my hands into his chest and straddle his hips, sitting up on his body. Please don't make me run home, I plead. I think I could possibly die. He places his hands under his head, all casual and amused by my labored breathing and sweaty face. His toned arms look edible as they flex. I could just about muster up the energy to lean down and take a bite.
You did better than I expected,
he says on a raised brow. I prefer sleepy sex, I grumble, falling forward onto his chest. His hands come around to secure me against him.
I prefer sleepy sex, too.
He traces circles across my back. Okay, today, I really, really love him. And it's only 6:30 in the morning. But I should bear in mind that a lot can change and very quickly with Mr. Jesse Ward. Give it an hour and I might have disobeyed, and then, very suddenly, I'd be dealing with crazy mad Mr. Unreasonable Control Freak and being given the countdown or a sense fuck. I'll take the sense fuck. I'll leave the countdown.
Come on, lady. We can't frolic in the grass all day. You have work to do.
Yes, I do. And we're miles from Luso. I heave myself up from his chest and stand. I'm slightly wobbly, but Jesse, of course, rises to his feet like a dolphin gliding across the calm ocean. He makes me sick. He wraps an arm around my shoulder and walks us onto Piccadilly, flagging a taxi down and bundling me in. You brought money for a taxi? He knew I wouldn't make it. He doesn't answer. He just shrugs and yanks me across the taxi into his arms. I feel a little guilty for cutting his run short, but I'm too beat to dwell on it for long. I'm dragged, quite literally, through the foyer of Luso and into the elevator. I feel like I've been awake for a month, when in reality it's not even been 2 hours. I've no idea how I'm going to make it through the day. When we reach the penthouse, I collapse on a bar stool in the kitchen, resting my head on my arms. My breathing is only just returning to normal. Here. I look up and find a bottle of water being waved under my nose, and I take it gratefully, swigging the lovely ice liquid and wiping my mouth with the back of my hand. I'll run a bath. He looks at me in sympathy, but I detect a little enjoyment mixed in there too. The smug bastard. I'm lifted from the stool and carried upstairs in my usual chimp-like manner. I don't have time for a bath. I'll have a shower, I say as he places me on the bed. What I would do to crawl under the covers and emerge sometime next week.
You have plenty of time. We'll grab some breakfast and go to the manor mid-morning. Now stretch.
He drops a kiss on my sweaty forehead and turns toward the bathroom.
We'll go to the manor? Oh, bloody hell.
He was completely serious when he permanently marked out my diary for the rest of the calendar year? The 100 grand is to keep Patrick quiet while he gets his fix of me, morning, noon, and night. What about my other clients? Vanderhaus being the most important other client. He alone will boost Patrick's turnover tenfold. Oh, God, I feel a trample coming on. Jesse, I need to go to the office. I try for a calm and reasonable tone.
No, you don't. Stretch,
is the straight, flat answer, followed by a terse demand that I get thrown back at me from the bathroom. What am I going to do? I'm too exhausted to run away at the start of a countdown. Not that I would get very far, even firing on all cylinders. And a sense fuck will probably finish off my already strained heart. All of my equipment is at the office. My computer programs, reference books, everything. My voice is small. He presents himself at the doorway of the bathroom, chewing his lip.
And you need all that stuff? Yes, to do my job.
Okay, we'll stop by your office.
He shrugs and returns to the bathroom. I throw myself back on the bed in exasperation. What in God's name am I going to say to Patrick? I exhale a weary sigh. He's led me into a false sense of security by bringing me home in a taxi and carrying my tired body up the stairs when my legs felt like they could give out. I'm just as deluded as he is. I'm never going to be in control.
Bath's ready,
he whispers in my ear, snapping me from my unrest. You were serious, weren't you? I ask as he lifts me up from the bed and carries me into the bathroom. The enormous bath dominating the room is only half full.
I was serious about what?
He places me on my feet and starts peeling off my wet running gear. About not sharing me?
Yes.
What about my other clients?
I said I don't want to share you.
He pulls my shorts down my legs and taps my ankle. I do as I'm bid, lifting my feet in turn. I don't need to be at the manor to collate designs, Jesse. He lifts me into the bath and starts undressing himself.
Yes, you do.
The water is a welcome relief for my screaming muscles. It's a shame it won't relax my screaming brain. No, I don't, I affirm. I'm attempting to put my foot down again. I look up to a very disgruntled face as he climbs in behind me and pulls my back against his chest. He's silent for a short while before he takes a deep breath.
If I let you go to the office, you have to do something for me.
If he lets me? This man is beyond self-assured and arrogant, but he's negotiating, which is an improvement on demanding or forcing me. Okay, what?
You'll come to the manor's anniversary party.
What? Like a social event?
Yes, exactly like a social event.
I'm glad he can't see my face, because if he could, he would see a screwed-up contortion of displeasure. So now I'm between a rock and a hard place. I get out of going to the manor today, but I'm negotiating delaying the chore, not completely avoiding it. And for a social event? I would rather boil my head. When? I sound less enthused than I feel, and that's saying something.
2 weeks today.
He wraps his arms around the tops of my shoulders and nuzzles his face into my neck. I should be dancing around the bathroom in joy. He wants to take me as a date. It doesn't matter that it's the posh hotel that he owns. He wants me there. But I'm not sure I'm prepared to spend the evening under the unfriendly, watchful eye of Sarah. And it's a dead cert that she'll be there.
You'll come.
He thrusts his tongue in my ear, swirls it around a few times, and kisses under the hollow of my lobe before thrusting it back in my ear. I squirm under his hot tongue, my body slipping over his. Stop! I shudder.
No.
He squeezes me to him as I writhe, water splashing everywhere.
Say you'll come.
No! I laugh when his hand moves to my hip. Stop!
Please,
he purrs in my ear. I stop struggling.
Please? Did I hear him right? I'm stunned on the spot.
Jesse Ward said, please. Okay, so he's brokering a deal, and he said, please. Okay, I'll come, I sigh, earning myself a super tight squeeze and over-the-top nuzzle. I reach up and wrap my hands around his forearms. I've made him happy, and that in turn makes me very happy. So I'm going to be his date. That will please Sarah no end. Actually, I will go, and I'll look forward to it too. He wants me there, and that has to signify something. I can't help the little satisfied smile playing at the corners of my mouth. I'm not usually the competitive type, but I really dislike Sarah, and I really like Jesse.
so it's a no-brainer, really.
I've never had a bath before,
he says quietly.
Never? Nope, never. I'm a shower man. But I think I might be a bath man now.
I love having a bath.
Me too, but only if you're in it with me.
He squeezes me.
It's a good job the designer of this place anticipated the need for a big one.
I laugh. I think she did well.
I wonder if she ever considered being in it.
He muses. No, she didn't.
Well, I'm glad she is.
He tugs at my earlobe with his teeth as I feel his feet slide down my shins, rubbing across the tops of my feet above the bubbly water. I close my eyes and rest my head against his chest. Perhaps I should ditch work and stay with him all day after all. In my sleepy bath time slumber, I decide that tub talk with Jesse is one of my new favorite pastimes. And I might even start running in the morning. Not crazy distances, but around the Royal Parks once or twice every other morning.
I must remember to stretch. You're going to be late for work,
he says softly in my ear. I pout to myself. I'm way too comfortable.
Just think, if you didn't go to the office, we could stay longer.
He kisses my temple and rises to get out, leaving me silently wishing I had relented to his insistence on staying with him all day. Chapter 26. After I get myself dressed, I pad back downstairs and find Jesse at the kitchen island on his mobile, dunking his finger into a jar of peanut butter. He glances up at me, nearly knocking me off my heels with his roguish smile. I run my eyes over his grey-suited, black-shirted physique and sigh in admiration. His dirty blonde hair has been ruffled with wax and set in a messy array to one side, and I'm super appreciative that he's not shaved. He looks rugged and mind-bogglingly handsome.
I'll be there after I've dropped Ava at work.
He turns himself on the stool, cocking his head to the side.
Yes, tell Sarah I want it on my desk when I get there.
He pats his lap and I make my way over, fighting the scowl from my face at the mention of her name.
We revoke his membership, simple.
I lower myself onto his knee, smiling when he buries himself in my neck and inhales deeply.
He can kick off all he likes. He's gone. End of.
He spits harshly. What's he on about?
Get Sarah to cancel it. Yes. Okay. See you in a bit.
He hangs up, tosses his phone on the worktop, and snakes his arms under my knees to pull me up from the floor, greeting me with a greedy full-on kiss.
Breakfast?
He asks. I glance at the clock on the cooker. I'll grab something at the office. I can't be late. I wriggle from his arms and grab my bag to get my pills. Can I have some water?
Knock yourself out, baby.
He returns to his jar of peanut butter. I walk over to the huge fridge, slap my bag onto the worktop and remove everything, but I find no pills. Nowhere.
What's up? He asks.
Nothing, I mutter, dumping everything back into my bag. Fuck! I curse under my breath, but then mentally applaud myself for separating the packets and putting some in my underwear drawer.
Watch your mouth, Ava,
he rebukes me.
Come on, you'll be late.
Sorry, I mutter. This is your fault, Ward. I swing my bag onto my shoulder.
Mine,
he blurts, all wide-eyed.
What's my fault and how?
Nothing. But it's your fault because you're distracting me, I accuse. He looks down at me, his lips twitching.
You love me distracting you.
I can't deny it. So I don't. I'm delivered to Berkeley Square in record time. He really is a menace on the roads, in his stupidly expensive car.
He parks illegally on the corner and turns himself to face me.
I love waking up with you,
he says gently, reaching over and running his thumb across my bottom lip. I love waking up with you too, but I don't like being run ragged at 5 in the morning. My legs are really feeling it, and it's only going to get worse.
You would prefer to be fucked ragged?
He grins that roguish grin, running his palm down the front on my dress.
Oh, no, you don't.
No, I prefer sleepy sex, I correct him, leaning over and planting a chaste kiss on his mouth. I get out of the car, leaving him and his frown line alone. I'll be seeing you tomorrow. Thank you for exhausting me before work. I shut the door and walk off on my abused legs and in the most uncomfortable shoes I own. I spend the morning checking on my clients and schedules. I'm pleased everything is running smoothly. I pencil in a few site visits for next week, smiling as I write between the diagonal lines of permanent marker pen. I need to replace my diary before Patrick cops a load of my daily appointments with the Lord. I gladly accept the cappuccino and muffin that lands on my desk, courtesy of Sally, and frown when I hear a commotion of car horns coming from outside the office. I look up, spotting a pink van double parked, and Kate frantically waving to get my attention. I lift myself from my chair, groaning as my muscles scream in protest, and hiss on every step I take until I'm standing at the side of Margot Jr., smiling fondly at my fiery friend's excited face.
Isn't she pretty?
Kate lovingly caresses the steering wheel of Margot Jr.
Beautiful, I agree, shaking my head. But then I remember something.
What are you playing at? Letting Sam have free rein on my underwear drawer.
I couldn't stop him.
Her voice is high-pitched and defensive. It bloody well should be.
He's a cheeky swine,
she grins. I've no doubt that he is. The thought instantly reminds me about the whole tying-up charade. I'm tempted to ask Kate, but I quickly decide that I really don't want to know.
How's Jessie?
Her grin widens.
Have fun?
Well, I had a wild ride on a Ducati 1098, had daggers thrown at me by Sarah, and ran 9 miles this morning. I reach down, rubbing my hands over my aching thighs.
Fuck! Is she still at it? Tell her to take a leap.
She frowns.
You ran 9 miles? Well, that stinks. And what the hell is a Ducati whatever-y?
A superbike, I shrug. I wouldn't have known that myself a few days ago. He's deposited 100 grand into the Rococo Union bank account.
What?
She shrieks.
You heard. Why?
I shrug. To keep Patrick quiet while he hogs me. He doesn't want to share me.
Wow, that man's crazy.
I laugh. Yes. Crazy man, crazy deluded, crazy rich, crazy challenging, crazy lovable.
Are we out tonight? I ask.
I've rebuffed crazy man on the assumption that Kate's free.
Absolutely.
I sag in relief. Aren't you seeing Sam then? He's becoming a bit of a permanent fixture at your place. I arch a brow. He's actually a semi-naked permanent fixture, but I don't point that out.
It's just a bit of fun, she replies haughtily.
I laugh at her casualness. I know different. We're talking about the girl who hasn't been on a second date for years. Sam's cute. I can certainly see the appeal. A car starts honking its horn from behind Margot Jr.
Oh, fuck off, Kate yells.
I'm off. I'll see you at home later.
You're in charge of getting the wine.
The window starts to rise, and she grins from ear to ear.
I still can't believe he bought her a van.
I suddenly remember the deal I brokered in exchange for my clothes. No drinking tonight. I smile to myself. He'll never know. Kate zooms off down the road, and I return to my desk, stretching my legs back out. Yes, I'm really feeling it now. Standing back up, I pull my heel up to my backside, letting out a long, grateful breath when my thigh muscle stretches most satisfyingly. My phone starts jumping around my desk, and Placebo starts crooning about, running up that hill. I don't even have to look at the screen to know who it is. He has amazing taste in music. I like, I say by way of greeting. Me too. We'll make love to it later. You're not seeing me later, I remind him again. He's doing this on purpose. I miss you. I can't see him, but I know he's pouting. And as for the make love part, well, it's a massive improvement on fucking. I smile, my heart performing jumping jacks in my chest. You miss me? I do miss you, he grumbles. I glance at my computer. It's 1 o'clock. It's not even been 5 hours since I left him. Don't go out tonight, he says. It's not a plea, it's a demand. I flop in my chair. I knew this was coming. Don't, I warn in the most assertive voice I can muster. I've made plans. You know you may be at work, but don't think I won't come down there and fuck some sense into you. His voice is deadly serious and even a little angry. He wouldn't. He couldn't. Or could he? Bloody hell, I'm not even sure. Knock yourself out, I respond very lightly. He laughs. I was serious, lady. I know you were. I've no doubt about it. But he will have to wait until tomorrow to do any sort of fucking. Do your legs ache? He asks, just as I'm stretching them under my desk again. Ish. I'm not giving him the satisfaction of knowing that I'm actually in pain. I'll have a redox bath before I go out. Hold up. Was he trying to cripple me so I can't go out? Ish, he replies, humor clear in his husky voice. Remember our deal? I roll my eyes to myself. I was kidding myself if I thought he would forget about his little deal, and now I'm certain he had me running a marathon at the break of dawn in an attempt to immobilize me. Control freak. No reminder fuck required, I mutter, standing back up and yanking my heel to my arse. He'll never know. I'm not going to get so drunk that I have a raging hangover. It's too soon after my last performance. Watch your mouth, Ava, he sighs tiredly, and I'll decide when and if a reminder fuck is necessary. Roger that, I confirm with all the sarcasm it deserves. When will I see you? He sighs. Tomorrow? I really do want to see him. I'll pick you up at 8. 8? It's a Saturday. I want to lay in. 8? I really won't be getting drunk. Not if Jesse is going to be rocking up at 8. Noon, I counter. 8. 11.
8.
He barks. You're supposed to meet me halfway. The man is impossible.
I'll see you at 8.
He hangs up, leaving me on one leg with my phone hanging from my ear. I look at my mobile disbelievingly. He can turn up at 8 all he likes. I won't be awake to let him in, and I seriously doubt Kate will be either. I sink my achy body back into my chair on a few sharp inhales of breath. I'm never running again. Tom, I call. We're out tonight. You coming? I don't bother asking Victoria because it's her date night with Drew. He looks up with a dirty, great big grin on his baby face. I shall decline graciously. He bows his head like the gentleman I know he's not. I have a date. Another? Yes. This one is definitely a keeper.
Tom nods with the biggest smirk on his face. I leave Tom with his grin, returning to my computer. They're all keepers. I leave the office at 6, heading straight to the shop to get some Radox and a bottle of wine before making my way to the tube. I fight off the temptation to open the wine here and now. It's Friday. I'm catching up with Kate tonight and spending the day with my challenging control freak tomorrow. Perfect. I walk through the front door, finding a half-naked Sam walking out of Kate's workshop, followed by a fully dressed Kate with a highly satisfied smile on her face. Seriously? I splutter as I try to direct my eyes anywhere except on Sam's fine physique. He blinds me with his ultimate cheeky grin and turns to face Kate, giving me a rear view of his bare back and baggy-jeaned arse. It's then that I notice a lump of cake mixture at the nape of his neck. You missed a bit, I point to the offending smear of mixture. Kate swivels Sam back around to face me and licks up the center of his back towards his neck. He smirks at me and I laugh. What a pair of exhibitionists. Making my way up to the flat, I hiss at the stabbing pains traveling down my legs with every step I take. I go straight to the bathroom to run the bath, pouring in half the bottle of muscle-relaxing bath soak. Then I take myself to the kitchen to take care of special requirement number 2. I pour myself and Kate a glass of wine each and gasp my appreciation as I take my first sip. 5 minutes later, I'm flinging every garment in my underwear drawer over my shoulder in a panic. Kate! I know I put them in here, so where the hell are they? If this is Sam's idea of a joke, I'll wring his fucking neck. Kate breezes into my room. I've turned your bath off. What's up? My pills. What about them? They're gone. I turn an accusing eye on her. I can't believe you let Sam in here. Her eyes widen. I didn't let him in. And anyway, your pills weren't in there. I would have seen them. I let out a frustrated yell and proceed to turn the rest of my drawers inside out and upside down. I know I put them in here. Shit! Chill out! You can get some more! Are Tom and Victoria coming? I scoop up the contents of my underwear drawer and stuff them back in. I already did that. And no, they both have dates. Your organizational skills are shocking, she moans tiredly. Oh, is it Victoria and Drew's date tonight? Kate looks at me with wide blue eyes. Yes, I meet her wide eyes with my own. It'll never work. Hurry up in that bath, I need a shower. I grab my wine and head for the bathroom. The water is glorious, and I wash my hair, shave everywhere, and then reluctantly pull myself out before downing my wine and brushing my teeth. An hour later, I've blow-dried and curled my hair, creamed up, and got half a face of makeup on. My door opens and Kate's head pops around. How long? She asks. Her fire-red hair is in rollers, and she looks at about the same stage of readiness as me. Half hour, I confirm, opening my underwear drawer. Cool, she shuts the door. It opens again. What? I ask without looking up from finding suitable underwear. Within 2 seconds flat, I'm grabbed, my towel is yanked from my body, and I'm on my back atop the bed with a hulking male looming over me. Whoa! I'm completely disoriented and still clinging to a pair of knickers that I was deliberating over. I don't even have a chance to focus in on his face. His lips smash against mine, starting to work my mouth greedily. What the hell? There's no chance to fight him off or ask what he's doing here. He flips me onto my hands and knees. His fingers slide over my entrance, no doubt to check my readiness, before he undoes his fly and slams into me on a garbled yell. I cry out,
getting a hand clamped over my mouth for my trouble.
Quiet,
he grates through merciless pounds. Fucking hell, I'm completely helpless, as he thrusts in and out with complete determination and purpose. The depth he's hitting soon has my vision blurry, my head spinning with desperation and pleasure. His hand leaves my mouth, returning to my hips, pulling me back against each of his hard advances.
Jesse, I yell desperately.
He's merciless.
I said quiet,
he barks. As my pleasure builds and builds, I find myself pushing back against him. He groans on each thrust, powering forward at a mind-blasting rate, colliding with my womb and sending me into a haze of shocked euphoria. I try to grab a pillow, but my disorientation has me grappling at nothing but sheets, and I can't find the strength to lift my head and use my eyes. I'm completely helpless. I feel his grip on me tighten, the tense and swell of him pounding into me, stretching me beyond comprehension. This is a possessive fuck. That's what this is. Not that I'm bothered. I might be helpless and at his mercy, but I'm still going to have a mind-bending orgasm. His thrusts speed up, and with one last pump and deep, slow grind, I splinter straight down the middle, and I'm charged with a mind-blowing orgasm that has me burying my face in the mattress to stifle my scream of release. His hoarse cry echoes around the room as he joins me in my crazy bliss, collapsing on top of me, panting loud in my ear. He's jerking and shuddering inside and all around me. That really was shock and awe. I'm completely depleted and grabbing at valuable air to give my lungs some relief. They've really been through the mill today. Please tell me that it's you, I pant, closing my eyes, soaking up the warmth of his body through his suit. He hasn't even taken his jacket off.
It's me,
he breathes, moving my hair from my back and skimming my bare skin with his tongue. I sigh happily, letting him nibble and lick me all over.
Don't be having another shower,
he orders between tongue strokes.
Why?
I frown into the sheets. I won't be anyway. I haven't got time. He withdraws, flipping me over and pinning my wrists on either side of my head. He gazes down at me, his styled hair of this morning now in disarray, but he looks no worse for it.
Because I want me all over you when you're out.
He drops his lips to mine, taking a whole other tactic with my mouth, swirling his tongue, humming into me and nibbling my lips. It's a world away from the ferocious attack I've just sustained. Do men have an instinct for recently fucked women? I ask around his lips.
Mouth?
He pulls his face back, giving me a really disapproving look.
You've had a drink.
No, I blurt guiltily. He looks at my wrists when he feels the tense of my natural reflex, then back at me with an arched brow.
No more,
he demands softly, giving me another lavish kiss.
I was hoping to find you in lace,
he hums through our joined mouths. Releasing one of my wrists, he trails his finger down my side, over my sensitive hips and to the juncture of my thighs.
You would have ruined it,
I gasp when he plunges two fingers into me. I've not even recovered from my last mind-numbing climax, and I'm set to go on another.
Probably,
he confirms as he circles me deeply, pushing his fingers as far as he can get them. I sigh in total satisfaction, tensing my legs underneath him.
Don't be wearing anything ridiculous either.
I throw my hand out to grab his shoulder and pull him down to my mouth, but he won't budge. He's looking at me expectantly, and I realize He's waiting for a confirmation that I understand his command.
I won't,
I cry desperately when he hits me with a delicious sweep of his thumb over my clitoris.